the red, red robin comes bopping along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing that old sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy.
Independent, totally biased, Hull Kingston Rovers. You are listening to the Red Robin podcast with Joe Appleyard and Chris Johnson.
Welcome to another episode of the Red Robin podcast, and we will try and keep as upbeat as possible after a derby defeat. No Chris this week, so myself and Phil Barrett discussed a one-point defeat at the MKM, our run until the end of the season, injuries and the huge week ahead as we face Wakefield at home on Thursday and travel to Huddersfield on Monday. Two games that could make or break our season. This is the Red Robin podcast with Joe Appleyard and Phil Barrett. Enjoy the show, guys. Phil, it's great to have you back on the show, mate. Obviously, thank you for filling in for Chris this week. He's away on family duties. I know you're going away in a few days to Tenerife. I know you're buzzing about that, mate, but we have got a bit to discuss. And obviously, not the best way to start the podcast. We are obviously reporting a Hull KR derby defeat. Before we actually go into the game, mate, we know we're a few days after now. How are you feeling? Because it's bitter, isn't it? You know, we're both passionate blokes. We see ourselves on social media. You know, we've got a lot of banter with the black and whites. To come away at 1-point victory, and before we speak about how I thought Rovers didn't play anywhere near the best at all. I thought we was very scrappy. How are you doing at the minute, mate, after the initial, obviously, defeat to the black and whites?
Yeah, mate, obviously, you know what it's like. You're a bit, you're despondent, aren't you, at first? But I don't think we've had it as bad as it normally is. Do you know, I think there's a little bit of respect there, finally, that maybe they're just starting to see that Rovers aren't the also-rans anymore, mate. We pushed them close, do you know what I mean? And we was missing five or six players you could slot into that team.
And I thought as well, especially because I know you a bit, you know, flock a bit of stick, don't you, on media, getting under the skin of certain people, certain old fans. But for me, I saw a few things on Twitter, but I know what you mean. It was pretty quiet for a derby defeat. I know if we'd have won, me and you especially, I'd have been giving it big style. I thought we got away quite easily there, especially on social media. But yeah, like you mentioned, maybe Rovers are getting it's hard to say a bit of respect in it when you're comparing black and whites and red and whites. But I just thought, if you look at the game as a whole, I mean, we won't discuss try by try, you know, because the game's been undone now. Everyone knows what happened. I always thought, even when Rovers were in front, we was kind of chasing the game. And you mentioned we was missing some key personnel, weren't we? It didn't help that we lost Matty Staunton and Corbin Sims. But I don't know. I mean, I put a tweet. I said I thought we played at about 40% of our potential. The moves weren't as slick. We couldn't get the, you know, winning around the ruck. I thought Parcell and Jez struggled in attack, definitely in attack. I know Parcell does his usual 30 plus tackles, but I don't know about you watching it on the box, mate, because obviously when you're there, the emotion and the atmosphere, you kind of zone out, and it was the quickest 80 minutes ever. I don't know about watching it on telly, mate. What was your initial reaction to the way Rovers came out? Because I thought when Swift went over after 4 minutes, I was like, here we go again. But Rovers did respond. But again, I feel like that was 2 points that we had and we lost, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I think I said after the game, I think Rovers was probably second best overall, but I think Tony Smith agreed, didn't he? It's tough, George. You know, was missing some key players. They was pretty much nearly at full strength, weren't they? You could probably name one or two that would be in their team. In times gone past, would have been blown off the park, mate. But yeah, there's a bit of fighting spirit in this team, do you know. And I'm not falling for any of this. Or the three or four tries disallowed, mate. Two blatant knock-ons and an obstruction. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing to argue about. Two absolute blatant knock-ons sent up as no try, and Josh Reynolds being Josh Reynolds, mate, an idiot. Simple as obstruction cost his team 4 points. I want to get more onto why they crossed their own place. I thought Rovers was So, mate. I think there's a bit of fighting spirit there now to hang in there, and they could have pinched the game at the end. There's certainly should have had a better shot at drawing the game, mate, like, given a chance like that with 30 seconds to go.
What was your thought on the initial drop goal on 24 minutes? Because at the time, you kind of think, you know, well, there's no really reason to do it. But you look at the bigger picture now, if that game had gone the same way it did, Rovers would have got that draw in the end. It would have been 23-0. But at the time, especially in that 80th minute, I did think we could have been a little bit better, just a bit more composed. And that half-back pairing, when you've been on the show before, we've discussed it. Me and Chris have discussed it loads. And I know a lot of Rovers fans have over all the forums, the social media. But at the minute, obviously, all the talk at the beginning of the season was Mikey, Abbo, all stuff like that. With them two missing, we have Takarangi and Milnes. How good has Rowan Milnes been? Yeah, he makes some mistakes and he's learning. He's 21 and he's never going to be the one to dummy and go 100 metres. But that little kick through, you know, the kick and chase and the bit of composure on the tries in the second half, he's becoming a bit of a player, isn't he, mate? A bit underrated, I think, because he doesn't do the silky stuff like Mikey. He doesn't hand off and go 60 metres, or he ain't got the pace to burn wingers like Mikey does. But I think Rowan Milnes is becoming a steady little player, mate. And obviously, we haven't spoke since he signed a deal. I know you're a big fan, and so am I. It's great to see him, especially the Bradford lads that have come over, Minchella, Stort and him, Ethan Ryan. They're looking quite good buyers now, aren't they?
Yes, he looks a great bit of his. I love him, mate. You'll know.
Yeah.
I've spoken highly about him for a long time. I thought he should have been in the team last year instead of being out on loan, but probably done him a favour. He guards the team around the park, mate. And all this game management will come. He's 21. We can't forget that. You know, he's not 23, 24 like Sky would have you believe when they tell you on the game, mate. He's 21, turning 22 soon. And he's pretty much ran a Rovers team in a derby on his own, if we're honest. Do you know, I know we had somebody named it in the other half-back position, mate, but I've been pretty consistent on that from the start as well. I don't believe he is. I don't believe Brad Takarangi is an half-back. I think he's a world-class centre, and I think he'd have absolutely scared the pants off Cameron Scott, mate, if he was out there for 80 minutes, but that's for another day, I think, isn't it?
I think that's the big talking point, wasn't it? When the teams initially came out about an hour and a half before kickoff, Mikey didn't get in. I'm hoping it's because he wasn't fit. Because in my opinion, like you said then, I thought you could have had Takarangi and Minikin on that side, and then you'd have had Milnes or Mikey in the halves. Obviously, Jimmy Carnos came in. He's been playing at Cass, but he does struggle defensively. That's one of the reasons he's not a regular in this Rovers team anymore. And he definitely got caught out, especially for that first try, with obviously the centre and the second row jumping in. But I don't know, mate. I think sometimes with Takarangi, I think he tries. I think he's a brilliant player. He's skillful. Look at the try he scored against Salford, the step he did at Lee at home. He has got that world-class quality in him. But sometimes I feel at half-back, the game gets away from him and we don't see the best. And I thought at sometimes it was just Milnes running the show. And I know in the derby that we've got to be better than that. And I'm just hoping in the weeks to come we can see Mikey and Rowan working together and Takarangi in the centre, because I think that's where we'll get the best out of him, mate. And I know you will agree.
But yeah, that's where
he's played. A centre, isn't he?
That's where he's played most of his career, mate. If you break it down, I think he's played 8 games in the halfbacks in the NRL. You know, started games.
Mm.
He's a centre. He can play back row as well. I've got no doubt. He'd probably do a great job in the back row. But he's a centre as it stands, mate. And as I said, he'd have scared Cameron Scott to death on that side. But it wants to be. You know, we was close, mate. At the end of the day, we ran him close. And I think when you don't play to your maximum, absolute 100% potential, mate, and you still give yourself a chance to at least tie the game with 30 seconds left, that says a lot about the mentality of the team at the minute.
And that's what I think's a bit different now, isn't it? And I know sometimes we blow our lid, don't we? We're both passionate guys, like I've mentioned. I was walking out the ground at the end. And obviously, you have that initial heartbreak, don't you? When you're gutted and you're like, oh, here we go. It's going to be, you know, all the stick and stuff you get. I kind of walked out and I was like, do you know what? We're similar to actually last season when we played them at KC. But that was obviously when we had all these new signings and we didn't know what was going to happen with COVID and the dreadful end of 2020 we had. But I came away from it thinking that was ours that we've lost. we was in the contest. I thought we was poor. I thought in some things we lacked composure, the moves, like I've mentioned. But that is a sign that we are progressing. And I feel like a lot of Rovers fans, like myself and you, it's not the usual, oh, we haven't turned up with the beaters again. It's all that. It's kind of like, yeah, we know where we stand. We've lost. We're still sitting fifth. And with the next, what have we got now, 5 games, mate, I'm hoping with Dean Adley coming back, we'll speak about the Wakefield game soon. There is positives in a derby defeat. But before I actually move on, mate, I feel like the biggest negative, in my opinion, was the last 5 minutes of the first half. We was leading, weren't we, 10-4. And then Farimo goes in, a little knockdown from Jake Connor, who, as much as I hate him, changed the game. I thought he was on fire again. And we've got to close him down. And we never really do, I think, when we play the derbies. We always need to target him. And I thought him and Tuomavaavi had our left edge on toast in that first half. And then you go down 16-10, mate, don't you? In the space of 5 minutes, you've had a 6-point lead and now you're 6-point behind. That must have changed Tony Smith's team talk at half-time. And I know I was certainly disappointed conceding two back-to-backs.
Well, yeah, definitely. I think that the Cardinals in, mate, is when you concede with 3 minutes to go to tie up at 10-all, try and land the kickoff in the field of play, be a start, wouldn't it? Do you know, Ben Crooks, he scored a great try in the second half, but every week, mate, it just seems that there's a real basic error in there that just seems to bite Rovers. I mean, the try he scored was fantastic, but just land the kickoff in the field of play, mate.
I feel like he gets away with it because of the fact that, yeah, he's not a fullback as well, but this is a bloke who's had contests on the wing all his life. He's played centre. Parramatta snapped him up. Do you know what I mean? He's been there and done that. He's got a lot of experience. And I feel like you said, you can go through every single game he's played recently, especially in the last 2 months. I know Rovers have won a lot more than they've lost in the past 2 or 3 months in this season. But for me, I don't know, at the minute, I really like Crooksy. You know, he seems a nice bloke. Obviously, he's been at the club a long time now. He's one of them who I know he always does a job and he never doesn't give 110%. But for a bloke of his experience, I don't know. It's just not working for me at the minute. He gets these little glimpses, a bit probably similar to like when we had Craig Hall, mate. You know, you look at the good stuff he does and sometimes that gets overshadowed because there's a lot of defensive errors in there, a lot of silly mistakes. I don't know, mate. His contract's not done at the moment. We haven't had a deal about him and Minikin and Karnos. What's your thoughts on that at the minute, mate, as it currently stands? Obviously, we've got Sam Wood coming in. We'll have the young lads up from the 19s. You've got Connor Barley, aren't you, who's a centre. He's coming into the first team next year. So I don't know. I think with Crooks and Minikin, they're very similar players. But at the minute, yeah, Crooks is letting me down, mate. I don't like to say it, but, you know, it's, you've got to face facts.
I think he gets away with it, mate, because he plays with, like you said earlier, he plays with 110%. You know, you can't never fault his effort or commitment. It just seems to switch off, mate, for seconds at a time, and it's a real daft silly error will come. And I think we turned Wigan over two weeks ago, didn't we? And was coasting that game at 16-0, mate, and then just a silly daft error, bringing Minikin back on the inside. Poor execution and was under the pump after that. Do you know, and I don't know if you'll ever get it out of his game, but Rovers seem to manage all the time, but that's, it must just absolutely kill you, mate, because like you said, it changes your half-time team talk. They've gone back-to-back and we're struggling a little bit at that point, aren't we? Because we'd had all the ball, mate. I don't think I've ever seen a Rovers team defending an opposition's 20 like Rovers did. They must have forced 3 or 4 errors just from thumping hits, mate. And that was great to see. Do you know, there was real wound up in that middle. We used to call them the death carry, didn't we?
Yeah.
The first carry off a kick through. And Rovers just seemed to be meeting them. And I think Joe Cater coughed up the ball, didn't he? There was an error from Liggy Sow on the back of Rovers' great defence. And it's just, it's disappointing that we couldn't seem to get over the trial line like we have. Well, I think it was the best team in the Sky stats said we need 8.4 play the balls to score a try and the opposition's 20. We must have had 30 play the balls, mate, in that first half.
Mm. It was one of them things as well, wasn't it? You mentioned that, and I remember that knock on by Kesa, and then the next set, I think it was Ryan Hall passed it and there was an intercept from Hall. I feel like we was going one step forward, two step backwards. And I remember saying, you know, it's we're not even at half time. It was six down. I was like, just dunce for see Mike all day. And I was like, but this team's got it in them, and we kind of just carried on, didn't we? Every time we did something right, then we'd cough up an error. And sometimes that happens. Games like that happen. We've as much as there's this banter and this rivalry, they're in the top half of the division. We're running these teams close. We're beating these teams who have been in the playoffs and the top teams for the past few years. And we are coming away from a 1-point defeat in a derby where it could have been a lot worse. I know we had our chances as well, but we did do a lot of defending on our line. And we are really disappointed. And I feel like that's, like Tony Smith, man, I'll reiterate what he said. Well, they'll learn a lot from this. And I know sometimes that's biting the bullet in it. And you think, oh, what they're going to learn from a defeat. But you look at it from the bigger picture, the positives we're gaining, being like the close victories against Lee, beating Wigan at home with that atmosphere, losing out by 1 point in a derby. You see how much it means to the like a veteran now, and George King especially. Jersey's piece in the paper. These lads want to play for each other, and I know they'll be raring to go on Thursday. It's such a shame that it just didn't click in the derby, mate. But we win derbies and we lose derbies, and you've got to move on, haven't you? And I think one guy who deserves a bit of credit is Albert Vette, because he's coughed a lot of stick. You know, there's been reasons why he's coughed up a lot of stick. I remember that first game against Catalan when that Arthur Morgue made the break that led to the Maloney drop goal. He was off the mark by a mile and he wasn't putting in the minutes. We're still not seeing him for mega minutes, and we know he's not going to be that type of player. But the minute you compare him to, say, Corbin Sims, who just can't seem to string a few performances together. Vette's 3-3, mate. He's probably never scored as many tries ever. And then he's come over to England and he's got 3-3. I feel like that guy knows what it means now. I feel like his family knows. His family are always on Instagram. And he's one of them who I think since the fans, I mentioned it to Chris last week, since the fans have come in, he's really buying into that, mate. And I thought he was really impressive, because as a big guy, you know, he carries a bit of weight. He's going to cough a bit of stick. He's going to get banter from the fans. He did at Lee, I remember, when he lifted his top up and he got a yellow card in. And I think he's managing it really well. And I'm liking Albert Vette at the minute. I feel like we're a much better team when him and George King are on the pitch.
Yeah, we've scored the same try three times, haven't we? So we must be doing something right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one, because close to the line, like I say, they scored the same try three times. It's working. Other areas of the pitch, I don't know what you feel. I feel sometimes it looks to me like it's a little bit too easy to stop, and it might just be my eyes deceiving me.
Have you noticed he turns in
contact? Yeah, definitely. He does. He loves to lead with his shoulder, doesn't he, when he's into contact? And that, because the offloads do come on the back of that, to be fair. So mm-hmm. I think the more games he plays, as you say, the more minutes, it's improving. Do you know? He's not the wrecking ball that people would have you believe at the minute, but do you think he's got that in his game? Because he's playing, he's much improved.
He's much improved, isn't he? And I mean, I think once he starts getting, I mean, what's he had now? He's had about four games, hasn't he? So if he, in a row before that injury, if he keeps playing, stays injury fit, you know, the weight will come off. But I feel like sometimes that's not the worst thing to be carrying a bit and not having a six pack, you know, as a prop forward, being built like he is built like a brick shithouse, but in a totally different way. I just think it's the way Rovers manage him at the moment. I'd like to see a bit more of a bit of a dummy runner role as well, because I feel like if a big bloke's running at you, they're going to circle in the middle and you could use that to our advantage. But I think him and George King, you know, George Ilora at the minute, I think they're doing really well. I still think we're missing a prop forward, mate. I mean, I think Will Mars is not for me. I'm looking forward to seeing Garrett and Alton next year. I know Tom Garrett's a bit like Will Mar, but I can see him probably moving on at the end of the year. But we're just missing, I think, even though we're doing really well, you're still missing that bench where you look at the bench and go, God, you know, they've got some animals on that bench. I mean, it obviously depends where Sims and Vette play. But for me, I don't think the way Wilmar plays is the way we need to be going. And at the minute, I would like to see him being replaced, if I'm brutally honest. I'm hoping we do that with Tom Garrett next year. I think that'll just be a light-for-light replacement, mate. I don't know what you'll think about Wilmar. 6'6", 6'7", isn't he? I just feel like he don't use his weight.
Yeah, it is a difficult one, that, isn't it? Because I think you've seen with that tackle with Jamie Shaw. You know, I was expecting him to just run over the top of him, mate. Yeah. The player was spotted up fantastic, you know, get the big man running off. But it didn't even seem to...
He stopped.
So it's him very hard. He got underneath, mate, and the ball came. I don't think it was a knock-on, by the way, but we'll leave that one for other people to decide. I think the ball came out, but I was just expecting him to sort of like motor over the top of him and score under the post, you know. And I think that's probably part of our issue at the minute, Joe, that we're not really getting the best out of our bench players. I don't know how many minutes he played, but he didn't seem to be on for very long. Do you know, I think 2 carries when he was on the field, which it's not ideal, is it, for somebody being rotated, mate? But I don't think he'll be here for the simple reason that the signings Rovers have made so far look to be sort of heading to replace him, don't they?
What's your thoughts on Corbyn, mate?
I think he's getting better. I thought he had a good game until he went off. Obviously, we don't know how bad that injury is. He's named in the squad, but that doesn't mean anything, does it? We've had no update on him. He didn't look great at the time, but he's. I think you can't underestimate that he takes a lot of the stick as well. Do you know?
Yeah, a lot. He takes a lot of shots as well off the ball and in contact, because people want to hurt him, don't they? He's that type of player. I thought we really missed him. Him and Matty Staunton when they went off.
I didn't even know that Matty Staunton had gone off at the time. I seen him. I remember his first spell, and then nothing really seemed to happen. I just seen him sat on the sideline, and then afterwards he'd rolled an ankle, obviously. But and he's missing out this week. But yeah, a couple of rotations down as well. I'm happy where we are, Joe. Do you know?
Yeah.
I mean, probably people listening in probably think a bit of a contradiction. We're not too downbeat. I think you mentioned it earlier when we played all last year and we got beat. I think that was us playing at our maximum.
We were happy, didn't we, in the second half especially.
And we was happy to keep them close. Whereas this time we was off our game and we're disappointed that we didn't get the job done, which I think shows you how this team's evolved.
Yeah, I think it really, really does, mate, doesn't it? And that's the thing, you know, you see Tony Smith sometimes, he's very chilled out, he's very relaxed, but he knows what he's doing. We've got a plan, haven't we? And it's got to that stage now where a few years back, losing to Hull, that's kind of your main aim for the season. And that's what we needed to get away from. How many times have me and you said we needed to get away from just beating Hull and thinking that's all right? Especially when we did the commentary in 2019. An awful season, but you beat Hull twice, so it doesn't matter what you do. And I think like now, we've lost to Hull, but yeah, we've beat Wigan, we've beat some big teams, we're still fifth, we've got 2 massive games coming up, and that is, you know, the vision that we're heading, mate. It's a really positive time still, you know, we've lost the Derby, FC 23, Rovers 22, we're still sitting fifth, we've still got plenty of games that we're going to discuss, mate. And before we move on to the Wakefield game, obviously it was announced that John Bastian will be leaving the club as the head of youth development. He's now going to Leeds Rhinos in a coaching role. What's your thoughts on that, mate? Because we spoke about it about a day or two before it came out, didn't it? It's such a shame because I think John Bastian, I don't know the bloke personally. I did a roundup with him, didn't I, when you was on work duties a few years back when we did that for the club. So I didn't get to know the guy and I've never worked with him, but he seems like he's just got the best youth pedigree in the country. And I know Leeds are buzzing that he's gone. And this was the statement from the club. It was that Hull Kingston Rovers can confirm the head of youth, John Bastian, will leave his role on the 31st of August, and they are proud to announce the appointments as Jason Neverton as head of the player development and Ben Lazenby as academy general manager. It's that M62 case, mate, isn't it? Probably. He lives still in West Yorkshire. So many players have done it. A few coaches have done it. They don't move over to Hull, and that M62 becomes a bit of a drag for him, and he's going to be in Leeds a few miles from his house now. That's a massive loss from our academy. Before we speak about Jason and Ben taking over, I'm quite sad that that's happened, because the academy's doing really well. We're signing some promising youngsters. I mentioned Connor Barley, Zach Fishwick. You've got Harvey Moore in the 19s, a really highly rated Leo Tennyson. And I'm just feeling that's a massive hole that's going to be out of the academy setup now.
Yeah, I think it's more disappointment than anything, isn't it, mate? People better educated than me on the academy have said what a good job he's done, what sort of processes he's put in place. Things that will stand Rovers in good stead for years to come. But I think it is disappointing, mate, that he hasn't been able to see the job through, and that the M62 suddenly becomes the longest road in the world when you're driving one way down it.
Definitely. I feel like Ben Lazenby, I don't know much about him. Obviously, Jace never played over 100 games, 150 games for the Robins, didn't he? He's been at the club for years. He took over the academy. he knows what the club's about, don't he, Jason? He's doing his coach, he's done his coaching badges, he's working alongside people that he's known. He's in a comfortable environment now. He's back at Rovers. I feel like this is his time to take it and put a bit of a stamp on it now. And the players are in good hands, I think, with Neville, because he's one of them. He knows what the club's about, similar to when Benker Kane was at the club. Obviously, he only left a month or so ago, but at least the kid who's taking over has played for the club. He knows what it means. He loves the team. You see him on social media at the weekend. And I think that's what the kids need as well, is because some of these lads, some of them don't just play rugby because they're good at it. They don't support Hull or Rovers. And these kids will come, they'll wear the Rovers shirt, they'll have that identity. And I'm hoping now Jace can carry on and follow in John's footsteps, because then the academy won't be in the worst position, mate.
Yeah, well, the club's obviously done their own way, mate. They've created these two new roles for Jace and Ben. I've seen some of Ben's tweets before, so I know he's watched from afar what Rovers are doing at first team. He's obviously worked with Tony Smith before. He's happy with... I think he made a comment on... It might have been Frankie when he signed for Rovers. He said Rovers are doing the right things in helping identify these late developers, which is massive on salary cap value and things like that. So he's right across the game, mate. He's got all these sort of ideas. As you say, Jason's been... What, he must be coming close to 20 years now at Rovers. It can't be far off, can it? Since he arrived from Leeds, and I'm pretty sure there'll be more. Well, we know there's another couple of additions coming in, don't we?
Yeah,
that'll be announced in due course. But another bloke who's been around the place and been in all the junior setups, City of Hull, will be coming across to Rovers from Hull, as and when.
Yeah, and obviously we won't mention out, mate, because the club haven't announced it, but the kid who is coming over, like you mentioned, great bloke. I have a lot of respect for him and he helps me a lot, definitely. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do and when that gets announced, mate. But we will move on to Thursday's big clash. It is Hull Kingston Rovers against Wakefield Trinity. Two teams that are coming off defeats in the rivals round. I'll name the 21-man squads, Phil, and then we'll have a discussion about Thursday's game. So the Trin, Willie Poachings, Wakefield, the lineup with Tom Johnson, Liam Kay, Jacob Miller and Mason Lino, David Fafita, Carl Wood, Terry Rona, Matty Ashurst, Kalepi Taganoa, Joe Westerman and Jay Pitts. Eddie Batty, James Batchelor, Chris Green, Innes Senior, Geordie Crowther, Joe Rundle, Brad Walker, Yusuf Adeen, Lee Kershaw and Rocky Hampshire. And the Robins will line up with Ben Crooks, Greg Minicky and SKD, Ryan Hall, Albert Vette, Matt Parcell, Corbin Sims, Brad Takarangi, Kane Lynette, Jez Litton and George Lawler, George King and Superman, Man of Steel, hard as nails, Dean Adley coming off a season ending injury 3 weeks ago, and he's back in contention with Mikey Lewis, Joe Keys, Rowan Milnes, Will Maher, Louis Johnson, Muz Mustafa, Will Tate and Jimmy Carnos. Few players missing from both teams, mate. I'm looking at Wakefield's now. Obviously, who's missing from there? Max Jowett, the Tupu, Reece Lynn. We're missing a few, like we've already mentioned, mate. But what a big timely boost Dean Adley is coming back. I mean, what a bloke. What an effort to put his hand up. I know him and Abdul were raring to play in the derby. That didn't work out. I'm just hoping that this injury... yeah, it's great that he's going to play. He might feature on Thursday, we don't know. I'm sure he'll feature this season. He's put his hand up. I'm just hoping that injury doesn't become a bit more serious and severe, because we need him, especially for next season, because he's still contracted. He's a vital cog. He does all the hard stuff. He's our unsung hero. But what a bloke, Dean Adley, mate. We're doing it a bit tough at the minute. We are picking up injuries, at least one or two every game, and he's stepping up. And I know Tony Smith and the fans and me and you really appreciate that, mate. What a guy.
Yeah, what a player, mate. Told the surgeon not to bother, so he can try and play a few more games this season, which is crazy when you think about it, isn't it. But I think that's the sort of bloke he is. I think he suffered a compound fracture of the thumb at the start of the season. Was it this season or last? And was out for 6 or 7 weeks then, mate. And made round one, strangely enough. So yeah, I think that tells you where his head's at. And yeah, I think it's a strange one, isn't it? I think Adam Quinlan tried to play through it, mate. His shoulder was coming out 2, 3, 4 times and eventually he had to give in. So I'm hoping Dino knows what he's doing.
How big is Thursday, because every week I feel like I'm going, it's the biggest game of the season, it's all this, it's all that. But because of the position we're in, this time last year, a game against Wakefield that had been a bottom-of-the-table clash, it had been a pointless game, really. It'd be nice to win, but it's not really the end of the world, is it? But we're now, with the likes of us, Hull FC, Castleford, Leeds, every game we can go, you can go eighth, you can go fifth. That's how close it is. You would have gone fourth if we'd have won on Saturday. This, obviously, we're going to play in Leeds this weekend. Hull have got Castleford. So the games are coming thick and thin. And we owe Wakefield after what happened last time, that 28-12 defeat. Probably all Rovers' worst performance of the season was that Wakefield defeat earlier in the year. And I'm hoping now they've beat Warrington. They just lost to Castleford 16 in a row against their rivals. With a new coach, Willie Poch, and he knows Rovers. He's been here two spells at the Robins now. Sometimes when teams get new coaches, it spells them on this good run, and I'm just hoping we can weather the storm, because we'll speak about the Huddersfield game a little bit, because we won't have done a podcast by the time we play Huddersfield on Monday. But we've got Wakey on Thursday, Huddersfield on Monday, two wins, and that could hopefully cement your playoff spot, two defeats, and you're probably looking down the barrel of a gun. That's how close it is now, and how vital are these next two games at Craven Park on Thursday and then at the John Smith's on Monday, because it's probably the biggest week of the season now.
Well, certainly. And not for, on the back of that, mate, not forgetting that you play Lee. So
on Sunday, God, yeah, it's magic weekend, isn't it?
Three games in the space of...
Is it 10 days?
10 days that are three very winnable games when you look how Rovers have been playing. I think this will tell you a lot about the mentality of this team, because they're starting to run out of numbers of bodies now, aren't they? It's that, getting to that stage now where you're a little bit worried if people aren't going to make it through, especially with games so close. As you mentioned, with Wakefield and Huddersfield, is Corbin Sims going to be able to make it out there? I mean, one change to the squad, but until game day, that doesn't mean a lot. There's times gone by, mate, where Rovers would be feeling a bit sorry for themselves after losing to Hull. And they go into this game and you'd be quite worried. I'm imagining a few Rovers fans will be worried. I'm not. I'm looking forward to it. I think Rovers will be upset. And I think they'll be angry about how Saturday turned out. And let's be honest, mate. We've seen a Willie Poaching coach sad for a couple of games, and it didn't improve us, did it?
No.
So it's not like there's some sort of magic spell that he's going to put on him, mate. They beat Warrington and they've reverted to type against Cass. Cass are playing well. They always seem to beat Wakefield. I know they've ran them close, but they'll have put a lot into that game because it means everything to them. So I hope Rovers turn up Thursday, mate, with the right attitude and try and kill them off early.
Yeah, I just feel like that home crowd as well, you know, with that atmosphere at the Wigan game, absolutely outstanding. Obviously, you're going to Tenerife on Friday, mate. You're going to the game on Thursday, yeah?
I will be, mate. Yeah, I'll be there. Just send me off in a good mood.
Definitely 2 points before you go to the Reef. But yeah, I feel like this Super League season now, it's getting close, isn't it? We look at our fixtures that, obviously, we've had six postponed, but it doesn't look like we're going to play them. And at this moment in time, that could not, you know, that might not be the worst thing in the world. But we've got Wakey, Huddersfield, Lee. We've only got Cass and Leeds after that, and then the season's over. That Castleford and Leeds game, these are five mass. Every game is do or die for totally different reasons. Wakefield, the home game to win after the derby. Huddersfield, a team that I really miss under Ian Watson, and we can go there. We never normally go to Huddersfield and win. That's my only problem. I know we've done a few commentaries, haven't we, in the past, when we've got absolutely spanked at Huddersfield. Lee, they've won the first game, but they're still bottom of the league. They're still going to finish bottom of the league. And then you've got Cass at home, Leeds away. I tell you what, mate, every 80 minutes is do or die. Like I said, it's going to be a tense end to the season, mate. And it's nice to be in this position, but then when you look, it's every game's going to be a bit of a nerve-wracker now.
I tell you what as well, mate, Wigan are out of no trouble here. Wigan have got an horrendous running. You know, they play all the top teams. So we can still be looking up, mate. If we win these games, there's every chance that fourth place is there to be taken for someone, because Wigan are out of sorts. Do you know, we turned them over easy. St. Helens embarrassed them, didn't they?
Mm.
And it don't get any easier for Wigan. They've got an awful record against teams in the top five.
I'm just reading it now, mate. They've got Leeds, Cass, Warrington, Hull and Catalan.
Do you know, that That could be their saving grace playing Catalan at the end, because obviously
at home Catalan, as well.
Yeah, the Catalans could be safe and secure in top spot then, so they'll earn the right to do what they want. But if Rovers can win on Thursday, do you know, if Wigan do win, that's great for Rovers. If Leeds win, that's good for Rovers as well, mate. Do you know, we're in a situation now where if we beat these teams, the three teams at the bottom end of the table in the next 10 days, we're looking pretty good for that top six, the way everyone seems to be playing each other around us.
Yeah, mate, it's going to be an exciting end to Super League 2021. Definitely, mate. We'll finish, as always, on our tipping league. We won't do Monday's fixtures because, obviously, we never know what's going to happen with injuries, all that, like. But we will do this week's games, mate. Starting on Wednesday, the Sky game, it is Wigan against Leeds. It's, like you mentioned, mate, it don't really matter for our sake. Either one's good, either one's bad. There's positive and negatives. I think Leeds, mate, I really do. I think Wigan are struggling. They want Lam out. I don't think the team's playing. They've got a few in, you know, playing for Lam. They're missing Issa, Bateman. They can't keep to see the mouth shuts at the minute. And they're lighting the forwards as it is. Never mind with their probably starting second rows and centres out. So I'm going to say Leeds, mate.
I'll say Wigan on the back of coming out firing, because Leeds are missing a few of themselves out there. I do fancy Wigan, but I think it'll be a one-score game. I'm not seeing big margin.
Salford against the Catalan Dragons. Obviously, Salford embarrassed, mate, last week at Lee. A lot of people calling for Richard Marshall to go. I like it because apart from all them, you know, I dislike them the most because of obviously the history with the club. Don't like them at all. I'm hoping it carries on and I hope Catalans thump them.
Oh, yeah, mate. Don't they just remind you of Rovers a year's gone by where you think they've put a decent squad together and...
Yeah, and then they get
shown up like that, mate, do you know? I mean, Lee played half decent against us, didn't they? And I'm glad they've won a game in a way with us coming up in 10 days, like I said, because sometimes you can think job done, do you know? Because
especially at Magic Weekend as well, a big stage.
Yeah. So sometimes you can think job done. I think they play St. Helens on Thursday, don't they?
Mm.
So, but I'm going to go for the Catalans to stick the cleaners through Salford.
Huddersfield, Warrington, mate, at the John Smiths. I'm going to say Warrington. I think Huddersfield can't string a few performances together. I think Warrington, they have the bad days, but I do think they're a well-run ship. I know Price is moving on at the end of the year. A lot of transition happening at the Aliwell Jones, but I think Warrington will be in the top four, definitely, and I think they'll win at Huddersfield.
Yeah, they've had a bit of time off as well, haven't they? And they'll be itching to get back after losing to Wakefield a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, I'd expect them to go there and beat Huddersfield.
Hull against Cass, just on the basis of the fact Hull beat us, and sometimes that can have a negative effect on the next few games. And I think Cass have got all their players back now, barring Truman and a few others. I feel like Cass need to win. I think Hull need to win. And for the sake of who we want to be competing with, I'd much rather see Cass above Hull FC. So I'm going to go the Tigers.
Yeah, mate. Like, you won't find me arguing with her. I'd be picking Dockers if they was playing all, mate. So
it might be Cass. The only Tigers to win at the MKM in a while, mate. City aren't doing that well, are they? Obviously, in Eastall, Rovers against Wakey, we know what we're going to say, mate. I think it's going to be a tough one. I think Wakefield are there for the taking. They're missing Lynn and Tupou, so I believe our outside backs, especially if you can contain Kershaw and Johnson, because if they're making a half break, mate, they are faster than Jimmy Carr, Oz Ryan, all Kenny Dall, whoever it may be, even Minikin and Crooks. Them two are unstoppable. So I hope Rovers calm them down in the early stages. We need to dominate around the pack like we did against Wigan, like we didn't do against Hull FC in most of the game. I'm going to say the Robins pick up 2 points and we get our season back underway after a derby defeat, and we've got 5 games after that.
Yeah, it'll be tough. It will be tough, mate. We don't make to make it easy for ourselves, but I'm going to say Rovers, and I'm going to hope Ryan all remembers where the try line is.
Definitely, because it's a few games now, and he's not. He's still scoring tries, don't get me wrong, but he's not as plurist. I can't even say it. I won't even say it, mate. But yeah, we want him to finish top try scorer, and he's a few away now, isn't he? But the final game, like you mentioned earlier, it is St. Helens against Lee. They're coming off their victory against Wigan. Leah obviously coming off their famous first game of the first victory of the season against the Red Devils. I think the champions will stick it to them. I think it could be a 50-60 job, this, me personally, mate, just on the basis of Lee might think, not that the season's over and done with, but they can't do much more now. They can't finish 11th. So, you know, if it carries on going the way it is, if there is relegation, it would be Lee. But at the minute, don't really know what's happening, mate. So I think Saints put them to the cleaners to finish round 21.
No, yeah, I think what happens there is you come off your win, you think you're brilliant, mate, and St. Helens give you a bit of a slapping in the first half, and you go in miles behind and probably score a couple in the second half to make it look half decent. But yeah, St. Helens for me.
Well, mate, it's been great to speak to you. Thanks for coming on the show, mate. Obviously, Chris is away, so you've stepped in. I really appreciate it. Getting the band back together. We do like our conversations, mate. If I don't see you on Thursday, have a great time in Tenerife. You don't, yeah, you deserve it, mate. What are you looking forward to? Them pants of what is it, Aroni? And no, what's it called? Dorada.
Dorada. Doradas.
£1.50 pants of Dorada. Where are you going, Costa Rica?
Yeah, that's it, mate.
Getting that tropical sunrise, mate, is a nice kid, him, and always shows Rovers. So if we're, I don't know if we'll be on telly while
the
you're
magic
away.
The magic weekend will be on, mate, so don't worry about that. I'll be in there for the magic weekend.
Definitely. I want to see plenty of photos, mate. So this, guys, has been another episode, another edition of the Red Robin podcast with me, Joe Pliad, and Phil Barrett. We will see you on Thursday at Craven Park as Wakefield visit East Hull. And then on Monday, the Robins travel to West Yorkshire to take on the Huddersfield Giants at the John Smiths. And we'll be back next week with a review of them two games and previewing Sunday's Magic Weekend against the Leeds Centurions. Thanks, Phil. Really appreciate it, mate. I'll catch you very soon.
No worries, mate. See you later.
Bye-bye, pal.